Good morning. I want you to be prepared for a part in the sermon in a few minutes. And when I say that, I don't mean that you should be scared prepared. Just be prepared. There's going to be a moment in a few minutes when I want you to speak up for a moment. I know that's a little different for us in sermon time or whatever, but there are a couple of questions I need you to help me answer to get a better fullness of what we're trying to understand, okay? So I would appreciate that very much. Again, it's good to see you. And let's pray together as we go into the sermon time. Father, thanks so much for your love for us, for your goodness in our lives, for your leading and your mercy and your grace and your kindness, God. Father, we know without you we're nothing. And all of that I've said so far can just be so cliche, Lord, that it means nothing to us. But Father, we know our lives, they're nothing if not in you. We know that our lives have meaning and purpose because of you. We know that our salvation is of you and because of you. We know our breath, next breath comes from you. And Lord, I pray that we would be humble before you, that we would want to seek you with all that we are. And I pray now, Lord, that you would teach us more about that. And Lord, I pray that you move me out of the way and that it wouldn't be a distraction. We love you and I love you and we need you desperately. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the rich fool, the parable of the rich fool, and I was sharing with you a bit about how rich we really are, and the story goes that like this: this guy Jesus is teaching, and he speaks up and he says, "Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, to give me a fair share," is what some translations bear that out to say, and is more accurate. And Jesus says, "Man, who am I to be judge or arbiter between you and your brother?" And then he tells him to be on guard against all kinds of greed. And then he says, "The farm of a rich man produced an incredible harvest, and it was such a harvest that he didn't have anywhere to store it." And he began talking to himself, "Man, I got nowhere to store this stuff. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I will have somewhere to store all of my stuff, all my crops, all my goods." And then he said, "And then I will say to myself, self, you have things stored up for many years. Eat, drink, take life easy. Everything is good." And then it shows God coming on the scene. And one translation says, and it's reminds me of Mr. T, says, "Fool, tonight you die, and then who's going to get everything you stored up in your barn?" And so I titled this sermon, "I Pity the Fool." That's just for all you, Mr. T. Sorry. Maybe someone else could do that a little better. But that's how he shows up in some of the translations. He just calls him, "Fool, tonight you die." And I know you can hear Mr. T, Eric. I know you can hear Mr. T. Yeah. Thank you for picking me up on that. Anyway, so we're wrestling with this, right? What he's saying is not really what he's saying. All my life, I wrestled with this, because the story ends even stronger than that. He says, "And this is what's going to take place for or happen to anyone who stores up treasure for himself but is not rich toward God." And that's just, I think I mentioned a couple weeks, it's one of those things that just kind of keeps you awake at night sometimes. You know, you're driving down the road and it bothers you. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to bother you, bug you, make you very uncomfortable that God might be looking at you and doing his Mr. T impression, or Mr. T doing his God impression. I'm not sure. But we're supposed to be bothered by this. It's supposed to mess with us a little bit. And as I was talking about this, I shared some thoughts on how rich we really are. And I wanted to do that again to get our minds back in the theme that we're dealing with here. And it says just about us in the United States. If you want to understand how rich you are compared to other places in the world, number one, take all the furniture out of your home except for one table and a couple of chairs, and use a blanket and pads for beds. And we mentioned that that's more than most people have actually in that case. Take away all your clothing except for your oldest dress or suit, shirt or blouse. Leave only one pair of shoes. I saw a few days ago that the average woman in a developed nation owns 49 pair of shoes. I'm not saying anything about you, ladies. I'm just saying the average lady. Average as in shoe average, not height or... Anyway, empty the pantry and the refrigerator, except for a small bag of flour, some sugar and salt, a few potatoes, some onions, and a dash of dried beans. And that would mean that you would actually have a refrigerator or a kitchen or that stuff, okay? So this is pretty generous. Dismantle the bathroom, shut off the running water, and remove all the electrical wiring in your house. Take away the house itself and move the family into the tool shed. Place your house in shanty town. Cancel all subscriptions to newspapers, magazines, and book clubs. This is no great loss because now none of you can read anyway. Leave only one radio for the whole shanty town. Move the nearest hospital or clinic 10 miles away and put a midwife in charge instead of a doctor. Throw away your bank books, stock certificates, pension plans, and insurance policies, and leave the family a cash hoard of $10. Give the head of the family a few acres to cultivate on which he can raise a few hundred dollars of cash crops, of which one-third will go to the landlord and one-tenth to the money lenders. Lop off 25 or more years of life expectancy. And something else I just read this week, Ebola has been discovered in Uganda. Maybe you've read about this. Because of their illiteracy, their lack of any kind of training whatsoever, they didn't even know what was going on. Folks in their homes were becoming sick and then hemorrhaging and vomiting. And so the rest of the family would run out and leave them because they thought that a bad luck illness had struck them. It was just bad luck that this was going on, that somehow they had crossed someone or something. And so now they've been cursed just to be sick and die because they have no way of really comprehending what's going on. And so in wrestling with this, I wrestle, and I hope you wrestle, because Jesus is trying to bug us. We're not these folks. We're not the people Jesus is teaching here, because we probably wouldn't be listening to him. Because the folks who listened to Jesus were the folks who needed him and wanted to hear it. I'm not trying to be offensive, but see, God has set us up really well in the United States. We are so wealthy, and we have it so good that we can't see that what we have is really from him, because it's been so long and so good for so long that we can't even see him hardly anymore. It just looks like we did what we do. And so in this scripture, what God is really wrestling with us about, we always go in here and we look at this rich fool and we say things like, well, I don't have a farm and I don't have barns and I'm not hoarding up on my grain. That's not what he's saying here. Actually, he said before, he told the parable, be on guard against all kinds of greed, of wanting, of hoarding, of things that distract you from God himself. And isn't that the case for us so often? Is what's right in our face is so distracting to us? I need a helper here. Sean, would you come up here for a minute? Sean, Greg, I need your help. And I need you to help make a list on this. Just write it in half. And this is where I need all of your help. I need us to make a list. And Sean's going to write these down. My lovely assistant is going to write these down so that we can kind of bring them together later. But what are some of the things in this world that we are greedy for, that people really wrestle with, that we would call ourselves or someone else rich if they had them? Those kind of struggles. Somebody throw some things out here for a moment. Kindle. Money. Very good. Money. Be rich if I have money, for sure. What's that? Cars. You writing these down, Sean?
Yep.
Next. Okay. Nice house. Clothes. Why is it only the little kids talking? There we go. Eloise. Lots of... Wait, we're not there yet. Shh. We're not there yet. That's very good. You stay right where you are. We'll come back to you in a little bit. Okay. Cell phones. Yeah, that's good. Big kids. Come on, big kids now. Throw some stuff out here. What is it that we find ourselves greedy for? Computers. That's awesome. Anybody else? Come on. Yeah, boy. What's that? Video games. Owning your own company. Now, I'm seeing something here, okay? And I think we all are. Maybe I should say pride and control. Now that that's out there, where do we struggle? Adults, just for kids, you guys have passed, okay? Adults, let's be honest for a moment, okay? What do we struggle with? What are our, you don't need to tell on yourself. We all deal with it. So just help us out here for a moment. I can stand here all day. I like people staring at me. Eugene. Tractors. There is an honest man in the crowd. Anybody else? Come on, big boys and girls. Power. Amen. Come on. Peer pressure. Education. Control. These are big, aren't they? Anything else? Sean, will you read us that list real quickly?
Yeah, it starts with money, cars, nice house, clothes, cell phones, computers, video games, owning your own company, tractors, power, peer pressure, control, and education.
If you want to just help us all out for a minute, if you ever struggle with any of these, would you raise your hand just for a moment? Come on. Hey, I think I did that one day. Yeah, we wrestle with this stuff, don't we? And more. And here's the thing. Greed is not just about money. Greed is anything that distracts you from God working in your life or that you absolutely lose your focus over. I mean, I got to have or I want or I can't let go. Or man, greed is a really, really bad situation. And when you're in it, and think about this man, this rich fool, God comes on and says, "Fool, tonight you die." And the point is, the press is, look what you did. Look what you're about. See, everything that we have that is good, everything we have that is right, is truly from God himself. Any study of the scripture bears that out. I encourage you to chase that down. But all the good things, they're from him. And this man has an incredible harvest. It took a lot of things to have a great harvest besides some brilliant man knowing when to plant and how to get his ground to be all nutrientized and all that kind of stuff. You can use that word if you want to. You don't have to give me credit. So here's the thing. When this guy's harvest comes in, he gives no credit to God. He had to have the stuff to plant. He had to have great soil, great rain, great weather. And then he says, look what you've done. Look what you have. And then he's still, you're not done yet. Just pose. Just look pretty. You're doing great. And when he was finished, I'll tell you when you're done. And so when it was all said and done, he keeps saying, I'm going to do this. I have this. Look at me. And he never did anything for anyone. Never turned back to God for thanks. And don't make faces behind my back. Never turned back to God to give thanksgiving. Never shared with anyone. I mean, people in this room have gardens and they say, hey, Jamie, need some tomatoes? They bring squash and put it out here in a box. He never did any of that. He never wanted to share any of it, never shared anything, never called a food shelter, never had someone over for dinner, never did. He just stored it all for himself. Greed, look what I have, look what I've done. And God called him out on it. And then he says, and so it will be with everyone who is rich or who stores up things for themselves. Did you know, by the way, that that's like 90% of the world have no potential of 401k? Just a little FYI for you. So he says that all of this stuff, this storing away, it's going to be the same with you. For anyone who stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Next question. What does it mean to be rich toward God? And by the way, these stats I throw out, you know that like five-fourths of every stat is made up on the spot, right? That's one. Anyway, so now where are you going to help again? What does it mean to be rich toward God? Eloise, we'll start with you. Lots of love. I heard that somewhere before today. Thank you very much. I don't always speak the clearest, okay? I mean, anybody else? This. What does it mean to be rich toward, or give me some ideas of being rich toward God? Lots of friends. Kendall? Pardon me? A little louder. Very caring. Emily? Following his words. We already had that same pattern. Remember that pattern we had a while ago where all the little kids were so helpful? Yes. Being thankful. Helping your minister when he's asking questions. Ben? Being humble. Humbled or humble? Yeah, good. Yes. Obeying your parents. Very good. Next, and then we elevate it to the big people, and they helped out, smiling. I'm also thinking so much of the ones like 8 to 14 or 15, but I'm thinking of, yes, helping others. Cody, what's that? Not fearing death. That's really good. Emily, not lying. The fruit of the Spirit, that's really good. Man, you just dropped like 9 on us, like just like that. Giving. Anybody else? Big people. I mean, I know you're begging to throw something. Yes, Carrie. Scratching your head. What's that? Peace. Peace in your pain. That's very good. Forgiving. Prayers. That's awesome. Okay, Sean, would you read both lists? First, the list of rich in the worldly sense. Are you still back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Money, cars, nice house, clothes, cell phones, computers, video games, owning own company, tractors, power, peer pressure, control, education. And then the second list is lots of love, lots of friends, very caring, following his word, being thankful, being humbled, obeying your parents, helping others. Can't read my writing.
That's awesome.
Not fearing death, yeah. Fruits of the Spirit, not lying, giving, peace and pain, forgiving and prayers.
That's awesome. Thank you, Sean. Everybody say thank you, Sean. Thanks very much. Relationships, being deep in relationships. The typical, some of the things I just wrote down, studying. Developing your relationship in God, prayer, meditation, taking time just to spend alone with Him without talking. That was a very difficult thing for me to do. I remember, my wife's not in here, is she? Okay, good. I remember a date I had one time with a young lady who was a very good girl. And we were driving, some of my in-laws are in here, aren't they? Shoot. And so she wasn't as nice as my wife, of course. But when we would get together, I felt this press just to talk all the time, keeping the noise level very high. And a little uncomfortable, but I was really concerned this girl was going to get bored. And I just had never been in a lot of relationships. I grew up with 4 brothers, man. There was a noise level that was crazy. And so I remember one day, I'm driving, we're going somewhere, and I said, you doing all right? She said, sure. And I said, I just really am tired of talking. And she said, good. You can be quiet, and we'll be all right. And I said, really? Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is so freeing. I kind of forgot that gift along the way here, but the thing about God is it's the same deal. We're always chattering when we get near him. Help me, be with me. We need, I need, I want. And we never slow down. We never get truly into his presence to where we can sit down and just say, what's up? What's going on? And letting our heart talk to him and just listening to him talking back. Not audibly, you know that already. Through brothers and sisters, maybe. But meditating with him, on his word. Giving to the poor. Sean, I can't read some of my own writing, man. Serving God and others. There's so many things about being rich toward God. I mean, it's kind of lame that we would have to sit and write them down, right? We truly are. Gloria Gaither wrote a poem one time, and I love saying this because all the college students just start chuckling when I use it at intermission. But she uses this little poem called, I don't know what it's called, but I mean, it just simply goes, I've said it before, Pussycat, Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to the palace to see the queen. Pussycat, Pussycat, what'd you do there? I frightened a mouse from under a chair. And truly who we end up being, we're this cat in the presence of majesty, always looking to bless and serve and love us, and we're greedy for vermin. We're starving and chasing death itself when the majesty, the royal one, is waiting just to give us life if we would truly open our lives to him. A couple scriptures about being rich in God, and then we're going to be finished here, if I can find them in all of these papers. 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. And in the text we've been reading in Luke chapter 12, we've been reading 13 through 21, that's the story we've been studying, and in verse 31... through 34, he says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. I don't think that God has a problem with us owning things. That's not what this is about. The rich fool is a story to explain the problem we have with greed. The brother was upset. Tell my brother to give me an equal share of the inheritance. And Jesus is saying, that's not what life's about, man. Come on. And then he tells the story of the rich fool. It's not that he's really having a problem with us owning things. The people he's talking to owned things. They had homes, most of them, in the Gentile land especially. They had somewhere to live. But the problem is more that our heart is bent toward me. It's bent toward greed and control and ownership of what only God owns in the first place. And so he's saying, take a breath, will you? Breathe deep. I've got you. I've got all of this. And so it's more about the kingdom of heaven kind of willing its peace, its character, its strength onto this messed up focus that we have in the world every day. God's coming in and he's saying, look, I know this seems like life, but it's not. And so he comes in with this kingdom these kingdom values and characteristics. And he says, I want this to be the overarching theme. I want this to be what your life's about. Hope and trust in me alone. And that's really what this parable is about, or this story. And I hope that you've been encouraged by it. I certainly have myself. Let's pray together. Father, thanks for this day. Thanks for the story that your son shared with us about the rich fool. And God, I pray that we would loosen our grip on this life and on the stuff and on these people and on ourselves, and that we would let you have complete control. You're the only one, Father, who can do this well for us. We love you and we praise you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. If you desire